I wonder if in recent days you face the question, how much are you prepared to pay? How much are you prepared to pay? Maybe you went to the supermarket for your 99 pence sanitising gel and found it was £4.99. And you thought, no, I'm not prepared to pay that. How much are you prepared to pay? It depends, of course, upon the value that we put on something. And as we face that question, I think we're quite soon aware of our own limitations, what we're not prepared to pay. This evening we're going to look at one simple truth, and that is the price that God paid for his sheep. The price that God paid for his sheep. And we're going to do that this evening very deliberately, following on from our two previous Sunday nights when we've been in the Gospel of John and chapter 10, where we've seen those two statements of our Lord Jesus. First of all, I am the door for the sheep, the one way in. And the second statement, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In a sense, we're following that on this evening, but we're doing that from these words, which are the Apostle Paul's farewell to the elders who were in the church at Ephesus. He instructs them, as under shepherds, how they are to care for God's flock. And that's not my concern this evening. Our concern this evening is simply, in verse 28, the description of the Lord's people. The description in verse 28 of the Lord's people, as we come to our theme, the price God paid for the sheep. And in verse 28, the description we find of them is that they are the flock, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's what we're going to focus on in these few moments together this evening. The flock, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. How much are you prepared to pay? Let's firstly look at the people. Here is a description of Christians, believers, those who truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So firstly this evening, we're going to be looking at the nature of the church. And that's really helpful, isn't it? What does God's word teach about believers? What does God's word teach about the church? How does God's word describe the church? It's very important, isn't it, that we understand how God views the church, because he views it as a very glorious thing. And we need to have a right understanding and a right focus about what the church is. I don't think we can make too much of the church. We're all probably far prone to making too little of the church. Here we find God's description of the church. And you'll know that it's not the only description given in Scripture. There are many others. We looked at them a couple of years ago. The church is also described as the bride of Christ. He is the groom, the church is the bride. We're described as the temple of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the household or the family of faith, the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem. And this description here is in that long line of descriptions of the Lord's people. But the one we're focusing on this evening is, first of all, the flock. We gather together here this evening as a flock. I'm a sheep looking at other sheep. We're a flock. Three things quickly about that. First of all, the widespread and many descriptions of the Lord's people in the Bible as the flock. I suspect that it's the most common description of the Lord's people. In the Old Testament, Psalm 100, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We're the people who belong to him, and we're grazing, hallelujah, in his pasture. In Psalm 74, the question is asked, why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Against your people? Against those that you've loved with an everlasting love? In Psalm 77, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Or in the next psalm, he made his own people go forth like a sheep, and he guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And one psalm later, so we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture. It's a continual description of the Lord's people. Which is why in the next psalm, and that's Psalm 77, 78, 79, the next one is 80, we say, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. He's the shepherd of the flock. You who lead Joseph like a flock. And so we are a flock. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We as a flock are under his care. Isaiah said he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. How does he look upon us here this evening? He looks upon us as a flock. And that description goes into the New Testament as well. The lost sheep of Israel. Jesus turns to his disciples in Luke 12 and says, "Do not fear, little flock." Last week in John 10 we learned, didn't we? There will be one flock and one shepherd. When Simon Peter is reinstated to ministry, he's told, "Tend my sheep, feed my lambs." As God Almighty looks upon us here this evening, he sees us as sheep. Hence why elders are told to shepherd the flock of God which is among you. And there's three big chapters, aren't there, in the Bible on him being our shepherd. One is Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Another is Ezekiel 34, which we looked at together last Sunday. And another is John 10, which again we looked at together last Sunday. You got the picture. We are a flock. And that's taken up in so many hymns. Look at the very first hymn in New Christian Hymns. How does it describe us? As a flock. And that leads us on to two other things. The first one is that we are united in one. The individual sheep belongs to a collective that's called the flock. Now, of course, the personal is very important, isn't it? The place of me and my. As Doubting Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And that's very important that we're able to say that, me and my, of him. But it's also very important that we learn to say our, just as we're taught in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." There's a real curse, isn't there, of the me, my, in terms of selfish individualism in the West today. And if we bring that into the church, it could be a hindrance and a threat to the flock. We are individual sheep, but we belong to the whole because we're a flock. And the third little point is that that's why great warnings are given to under-shepherds, because the flock is so precious to God. And in a sense, this is a warning here as well in Acts chapter 20 from verse 28. The next thing I want to remind us of is the fact that if we're a flock, then we are sheep-like. If we are a flock, then we are sheep-like. And therefore, I'd like you to consider this evening the nature of a sheep. And I have some bad news for you and for me, is that sheep don't have a good press in the Bible. Ants get a good price, get a good press, don't they, in the Bible? They're spoken of for their diligence. Sheep don't get a good press. They're stubborn, and they're straying, and they're vulnerable to being attacked, and they're in need of protection. And that's illustrated in certain key verses in the Bible. The psalmist says, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep." Or Isaiah, "We all like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way." Or Peter, addressing Christians, says, "You were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." The tendency of the human heart is to go astray, to veer away from God. We were up in Llandudno, weren't we, in the beginning of January this year, and we walked round the Great Orm, and I couldn't help but see these little white specks standing out on the most odd and narrow of ledges, thinking they look like they've got a death wish, really. And that's what the sheep seems to have, doesn't it? A perverse bias away from what is good, what is safe, what is plentiful, to that which is bad, harmful, threatening, sparse. There's no animal so capable of wandering and going astray as a sheep. And the people of God are described, even mostly, as a flock. And that's why we should distrust ourselves so often. The comments of Christian shepherds throughout the years have always been an eye-opener, I think, for all of us. Two Christian shepherds particularly, Douglas Macmillan and a man called Philip Keller. And they speak with great experience of four obstacles to sheep lying down and being content. One is fear. They say, I look round my flock and I know how easily frightened they are. A startling noise will make them flee. They notice how they are vulnerable to antagonism, the bully boy of the fold frightening the others. That brings tension within the flock. The third thing the experienced shepherds notice is flies and insects, great dangers to the sheep, the danger of maggots. And the other thing they've noticed is the problem of hunger leading to the sheep being discontent. Interesting. The Lord sees us this evening as a flock. And if we're honest, we can be timid and easily frightened. That's why we need to remember that he says, I am with you always. We can feel bullied by a sulky fellow sheep. We can be easily distracted by cares and irritations, the maggots, the fleas, the insects. And we can have an unhealthy hunger for the wrong and a reluctance to feed to the full on what is good. We're a flock. Philip Keller speaks of other sheep. The sheep that's always bleating and complaining, he says. He says, I notice the sheep that loses interest and remains separated, unwilling and stubborn. He talks about the cast sheep, the one who has sought the warmest hollow looking for a bed of ease, who lies out and stretches out in a position from which he won't ever recover because the gases build up, the blood supply is cut off, and the only way is for the shepherd to chase him out of the hollow or roll him over. I might have told you the story once before. It's the same friend of mine who used to take me down at 5 o'clock in the morning to go and see the sheep, one of whom was named Lucy. On another true story, we were driving through Ulster near Stratford-upon-Avon one day, and suddenly he just yells at me, stop the car! Well, I thought, has he seen Lucy in the field or what? And he got out and he jumped over the fence and ran through the field. He'd seen a cast sheep, and he could spot it even going by. A cast sheep who was just lying there in a hollow, now on its back, unable to do anything at all for itself. And so my friend, the good shepherd, went and kicked it out of its hollow for its own good. Philip Keller also mentions the sheep whose fleece is too heavy, weighed down with life, all manner of foreign matter entangled in it. The shepherds who knew the sheep. And all of that, of course, pictures our rebelliousness in sin, doesn't it? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Our sin by nature, practice, choice, our defiance, our distrust, our disobedience, the ease with which we despise and dishonour the Lord. We sheep depart from him. How arrogant we can be. We fail to love him with all our heart, soul, strength and mind. We're false and full of sin. That renders us justly under his condemnation, facing the eternal consequences, because by nature we're sheep-like. And yet here we're described as his flock. His flock. The church of God. That's interesting, because the word church means the called out ones. And why is it that we're here this evening as the Lord's people? Well, it's because individually he's called us, hasn't he? Like the good shepherd, he's called us by name to himself. He's called to himself an unpromising, undeserving people, and he labels them his flock and the church of God, belonging to him whom we so grieved. We're a flock this evening. And then secondly, of course, we look to the shepherd. The description here is that we are the church of God. Who do you belong to this evening? Well, if you trusted Christ, then you belong to him. You can sing that hymn, can't you? Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. He's the shepherd, caring for the unlovable and unworthy flock. And again, we can look at many texts this evening from the Old Testament, from the New, how we are described as the flock of God. Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not wants. We're a flock who is cared for very uniquely by a very unique shepherd, who feeds us and guides us and leads us and protects us, as every day he devotedly and with great dedication pours out his heart in care for the sheep. What a glorious shepherd he is. The Lord Jesus is described in three ways in the New Testament. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And he's the great shepherd. And the emphasis is always on his total care and provision for his flock. How wonderful it is to be of the church that belongs to this shepherd. Three ways a sheep belong to a shepherd. One is that they're given as a gift to a shepherd. One is that they're born into the flock. And the third is that they're purchased by the shepherd. And those three are all true of us as a flock. We've been gifted to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father. We've been born again, haven't we, of the Spirit. But our focus as we close this evening is the fact that we've been purchased. A Christian sheep is one who has been bought back by God. God has paid a price for them. And the price wasn't gold, and the price wasn't silver. It was the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This shepherd has parted with something extraordinary for unworthy me and unworthy you. The price that God has paid for the flock. What price has he put on a single sheep? What price has he put upon the flock? The flock that by nature is unworthy and misfits. The price is his own blood. His own blood. It's a wonderful statement, isn't it, in verse 28? The church of God which he purchased. Oh, what with? With his own blood. We know that David took risks as a shepherd, fighting off the lion and the bear. But this is beyond that. This is the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. This is the good shepherd becoming a lamb of sacrifice. This is a willing death. This is an atoning death that saves us from the wrath to come. This is a reconciling death which restores us to fellowship with our God. But the good shepherd becomes a lamb of sacrifice to purchase the flock with his own blood. The Old Testament believers were very familiar that without the shedding of blood there can be no remission of sin. It required the blood of sacrifice. And this same Paul, when he wrote to this church at Ephesus, says of Christ, in him we have redemption, in him we are bought back. Then he adds, through his blood. That's how we have redemption, through his blood. In Hebrews 9 we read, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption, with his own blood. It's a remarkable statement, isn't it? The church of God, which he, God, purchased with his own blood. We were chosen for sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. John says in the book of Revelation, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The worship around the throne talks of the God who has redeemed us to himself by your blood. That's what they sing to the lamb. You've redeemed us to God by your blood. And behind the shedding of his blood on Calvary's cross was a loving commitment which stands behind all of God's work and favour towards us. He has literally loved us to death when he's gone to the cross at Calvary and died for us. The Good Shepherd is Jesus the Christ. Jesus is Isaiah's Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's the one of John chapter 10, the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And that's what we've come to remember here gladly, joyfully this evening. That out of love, God in the flesh offers himself in that forsaken death of anguish sore as a sacrifice of atonement for our sins to bring us to God. That's what Peter says, isn't it? The righteous died for the unrighteous to bring us to God. That's where we are this evening. We've been brought to God. How? Through the blood. The shepherd who died for the sheep, who are his very own. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's something that Paul says elsewhere, isn't it? The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He died in my place. This evening, as the word of God has been opened to us, I trust his sheep have heard him. Hope we're encouraged to follow him wholeheartedly. Hope we're encouraged too that having spared not his only Son, shall not God also together with Christ give us all things? We can trust him for tonight and tomorrow and the weeks and the months and the years that lie ahead. And then lastly, it's that reminder, isn't it, that we're no longer our own. That lovely statement that Paul makes to the church at Corinth. I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. What a price. What are you prepared to pay? We've just considered the price that God paid for his sheep this evening. Because we're gathered here tonight as the flock. The church of God, which he purchased, what with? With his own blood.